Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. Angel Blue sat down with me when she was in town to sing the role of Bess in a Philadelphia Orchestra concert of highlights from Porgy and Bess. In this section of our interview, she talks about how she's had music in her life since she was a small child. Angel, you wanted to be an opera singer since you were four. You started taking lessons at six and studied with your dad, who is a singer.
Yes, I studied with my father, and he was my first voice teacher, actually until I was 14 years old. He was my only voice teacher. I think my dad really taught me the fundamental, the basics, like the very rudimentary things about singing that one needs to know to just have a very solid foundation in singing. But more than that, I think what's even more important was he taught me that it should always be a fun experience for me. And I still hold that very dear today, because if it's not exciting to me, if it's not fun, you know, when the joy leaves something, then maybe one should leave that thing, whatever it may be.
And you like all sorts of music.
I do. I love all kinds of music. Actually, walking over here today, I was listening to David Bowie, and then I started listening to Queen, just because I like Freddie Mercury had such a beautiful, to me, he had a really great range, and sometimes I was just, I warm up with him. I like a lot of rock music, so I listen to, I'm trying to think of some of my favorite vocalists, or like Serj Tankian, and I really like Chris Cornell. Some of Chris Cornell's riffs that he does in Soundgarden and Audioslave are very similar to sort of the, this is going to sound strange, but I do believe musically it's correct, and that is some of the way that he sings is very gospel or bluesy, and I actually use that when I sing Porgy and Bess, just to get it into my ear, you know. And the other day I was actually listening to Guns N' Roses and following along with one of Slash's solos, just to keep my ear informed on what different styles do. I listen to a lot of country music. I also listen to, of course, I listen to R&B, I listen to gospel and classical, but I listen to a lot less classical than people would know, and that's because when I'm listening to it, I'm usually analyzing it, and I'm not able to just sit, listen, and enjoy.
Wow, and all this other kind of music then informs.
Absolutely.
Informs your performances. So you love all kinds of music. You grew up listening to all these different kinds of music. You released an album called Joy Alone in 2014. Could you talk about that a little bit?
That was so much fun. I did a concert. I have a wonderful friend in London named Ian Rosenblatt, and Ian had a recital series, and so in 2013, I was invited to sing at Wigmore Hall through the Rosenblatt recital series, and I went to do this recital, and then just something like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months later, he said, would you like to record an album of your recital? He allowed me to get even more pieces together to put together to make an album, and Joy Alone is a song that is written by Jake Hakey, who is a wonderful composer, actually, who also went to UCLA, not at the same time that I did, but I really admire his work, and I wanted to name the album Joy Alone because I talk a lot about joy. It's also my middle name, but it kind of is how I live my life day to day. It's just, there's a lot of things that can, you know, bring people down and make us despondent and upset, hurt, or whatever it may be, but there is always an aspect of joy in everything, and Joy Alone is the song that I was learning when my dad passed away. And so for me, that was just sort of the height of what I wanted my album to represent, was joy.
Also, it seems that family is very important to you.
Yes.
You're also very involved in Sylvia's Kids.
Yes.
You've founded Sylvia's Kids Foundation, and Sylvia is your mom.
Yes, yes. My mom was a school teacher for many years. So Sylvia's Kids is an organization that my mom and I founded together. And we're actually revamping everything right now. So we're thinking of changing the name just because she's like, oh, I don't want it to be named after me. And I said, well, everybody knows it is Sylvia's Kids. But my mother was working at a Title I high school and also a center for underprivileged teenagers. She was working with one young woman in particular who wanted to graduate desperately, and she had a 1.5 GPA when she entered into her senior year. And by the time she finished her senior year, my mom and I bought books for her. But my mom worked with her that year, and I funded her education for the last year of high school for her. And by the end of the year, she graduated with like something, I want to say something like a 3.7. And currently she's in her, I think now she's in her second or third year of college. So that's what Sylvia's Kids is about. It's, you know, people always say, oh, it's giving back. I guess that's what it is, but it's just helping other people, you know, just making sure that kind of in a way, like that other people are taken care of, you know, those who want to be. Because I understand also that not everybody wants that kind of assistance. But my mom and I and my husband and my family, we all have this idea in our heads that when somebody does show an interest in bettering themselves, we would like to be there to help them with that, our young people specifically.
That's great. Well, and I understand when you were going to college, you had to earn some extra money and entered pageants to raise money.
Yes, I did beauty pageants. I did for, I guess I competed the better part of 7 years in pageantry. I started when I was 18, and I finished when I was 24. That was the oldest you could be, was 24. And at 24 years old, I was accepted into the Young Artist Program in Los Angeles, and that is when I decided, okay, no more pageants. Strictly think about singing.
Well, you're doing so many different things, and you seem to bring such a joy and joie de vivre to everything. And I saw this video you did with kids about what an opera singer is. It was just so endearing.
Thank you.
And this is my last question. What does music mean to you, and what role do you think it plays in our society?
Honestly, only one word, everything. It's so much, it's everything to me. When I'm sad, I listen to music. When I'm happy, I listen to music. When I'm angry, I listen to music. It's everything to me. I don't know what I would do without it. It's been a part of my life since I was a child, and not just opera, but all music. It's so vital and important. I've been very fortunate to travel around the world, and I think the other day I counted 42 countries that I've sung in. And I would not have traveled to those countries had it not been for music. But I've been to 42 countries and have sung there, and there have been times where I've shared dressing rooms with people and we don't speak the same language. Been standing in line with people, we don't speak the same language, not from the same country, not the same culture or anything, yet we're humming the tune that we hear overhead that's being played on the loudspeaker. And that's why I think music truly is everything. It really is something that everyone can relate to. It exceeds and goes beyond class and race and gender and religion and all these issues and stuff that we put on each other. Music doesn't do that. You know, it brings, really what it does is it brings us together, and that's beautiful.
Great. Thank you so much, Angel.
Thank you.